First, it is possible to be in the presence of the risen Christ and not recognize him. Second, we cannot know Christ unless we know him in the scriptures. Third, all of our experiences, in order to be known as authentic expressions of Christian faith and life, must be verified by the church. Those are the three dimensions of this morning's gospel, which I want to look at with you today. First, it is possible to be in the presence of the risen Christ and not recognize him. St. Luke tells us that on the day of resurrection, several hours after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, two men are walking the 7 miles from Jerusalem to the village of Emmaus. It's about the same distance as from right here down to Interstate 85, walking along 385. As they walk, they are confused and dejected. Luke says they're downcast. And then in their midst, someone they don't recognize. Evidently, in his voice, they hear the Galilean accent. They know he's not from Jerusalem. Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know what has happened? Remember, it's the Passover. The city will be filled with Jews from around the world. What sort of things? And they tell him about Jesus of Nazareth, whom they thought was the Redeemer of Israel, but who was executed and buried. But the tale goes on. Only today, some women in our group went to the tomb and came back with a report that they had seen angels who said that he is alive. And more than that, some others went to the tomb and found that it was empty, but him they did not see. This is the source of their confusion. "How foolish you are," he said to them. "How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke." Then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. They do not recognize him because they have not understood what is revealed in the scriptures. Think how many people are in a place like this, a consecrated place of worship in which the Most Blessed Sacrament is reserved in a tabernacle, and do not know that they are in the presence of the risen and glorified Savior. Jesus Christ, now adored by the angels and saints in glory, is here and in every tabernacle of the world. And in just a moment, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will be on this altar as fully present, body and blood, soul and divinity, as he was to these men on the Emmaus Road. And yet, how many do not recognize him? Christ tells us that whatever we do for the least of his brethren, we do for him. But do we recognize the risen Christ in the homeless, the poor and outcast, the addicted, the illegal immigrant? It's so easy to be in the presence of the risen Lord Jesus and not recognize him because we're looking with blinders. Our expectations rather than divine revelation so often make it impossible for us to recognize him. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. Remember, wherever we hear a New Testament reference to the scriptures, the meaning is the Old Testament. What was true of the Old Testament is now, of course, true of the New as well. Every word of sacred scripture, from the first page of Genesis to the last page of Revelation, inspired by God and containing no error in faith or morals. We cannot know the Lord Jesus until we know him as he's revealed in the Scriptures. This is why it is absolutely necessary for every Christian, in order to be a mature disciple, to have direct personal knowledge of the Bible. It is not enough that sister who taught us in second grade, or the pastor, or our scripture professor knows. We must each know from our own direct reading, study, and prayer what is revealed in sacred scripture about the Christ, all the types and figures, so that we can understand when he is finally and fully revealed what the eternal plan of salvation contained from the very beginning. St. Peter writes of Christ, he was known before the foundation of the world. This is the eternal Son, but revealed in the final time for you by his incarnation and ministry and death and resurrection. He was revealed in this final time for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. But we cannot know that revelation unless we know the Scriptures, which is why the Church has ever taught that ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ. But even if we know him in the Scriptures, even if we seek to recognize him wherever he may be found and to follow him in the way, one final thing remains. Our own experiences, our own feelings, our own wisdom must be tested by the Church. Until and unless the Church has authenticated our own experience, we cannot be sure that it is a true expression of Christian faith and life. Notice, when he's taken from their sight and they realize finally who it is they have been with, when they recognize him in the breaking of bread, they get up from the table and run back the 7 miles to Jerusalem at the end of an exhausting day. They can't wait to go back and find the community. And they found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them. We can imagine the scene, the Mother of God, Mary Magdalene, Mary the wife of Clopas, probably the one named here in this text. And in this great assembly of disciples, what's essential? The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. That's not a detail. That's an essential dimension. Simon, named by the Savior, Rock, Peter. If the apostles have a unique ministry in the Church, then among the 12, Simon has a unique ministry. That's why we read in the first lesson, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. Yes, the 11 are there, privileged witnesses to the resurrection, those who have been sent by the Lord in his own name to teach with his own authority, but the one who speaks for them is Peter. The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. We must bring our experience to the Church for authentication, particularly through the ministry of the Bishop of Rome. You know, when the Church is convulsed with argument and disagreement, it often takes time to understand the issues at stake. It takes controversy sometimes for the judgment of the Church to emerge clear and true. And when it happens, it's always the College of Bishops who take the place of the College of Apostles, guided by the successor of Peter, the Bishop of Rome, who become the touchstone of the authenticity of our experience. I'll take 3 controversial examples from our time. A Catholic politician concludes that the common good requires space be provided in civil society for women to abort their children. The Church says, no, brother, I'm sorry, the gospel reveals that this is not the way of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we must defend and protect the dignity of women, particularly those who are most vulnerable, but we can do this while at the same time protecting the lives of their children, even those who are unborn, even those who come into being through an act of violence. We need not murder to defend the dignity of women. Or a woman who is deeply faithful, following the Lord Jesus all her life, spending herself in the service of her brothers and sisters in the church, comes to the conclusion one day that she is called to the ministry of the altar as a priest. No, sister, I'm sorry. The gospel reveals that is not the way of the Lord Jesus. Only men are called to the service of the altar and the priestly ministry because they must take the place not only of Christ the head, but of Christ the bridegroom. Let me show you a more excellent way of giving yourselves in service to Christ and his brethren. Or third, two men come to the church and say, "We are in love. We want to spend our lives together in a commitment that all will recognize. We want to be married." The church must say, "No, brothers. We're sorry, but the gospel of Jesus Christ reveals that that is not part of the plan of salvation for the human race, that only one man and one woman can be called to this form of sexual friendship for their own good and the good of the children God may give them. Let us show you a more excellent way where you may love each other in the truth and yet walk with Christ in the way." Multiply the examples from your own experience. The principle at stake is this: what we perceive and feel from our own lives may or may not be an authentic expression of Christian faith and life. And until we bring it to the church, particularly to Simon Peter, and offer it for authenticity, we can't know for sure. These men on the road to Emmaus were brokenhearted, confused, angry, afraid, downcast. Every one of us has felt that way for some reason. We'll feel it again. What we must understand is that the risen Christ is with us. And if we surrender our hearts and minds to the truth of the gospel, recorded in sacred scripture and in the apostolic tradition, if we think with the church, if we seek to know Christ as he is revealed to us in the eternal plan of salvation, then we will know that he is with us, particularly in the breaking of the bread, and we will be nourished by him under everlasting life. And then despite our woes and our suffering, we will find that energy wells up in us, enough to jump up and run 7 miles to announce to everyone that Jesus Christ is Lord.